Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio program where you can call in and talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone number here in the studio is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me,
Beakless Mountaineer,
and me, Mark Edge,
back in person, live in the studio,
like a real human being.
It's good to be here.
We're happy to have you back.
Thank you. Suddenly convinced you're not a bot.
Right.
It could be a deep fake when you're on the screen. So
I'm not convinced, but yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't like. I shook his hand, so most AIs can't do that yet, to my knowledge. I know there are some AIs where, like, have you seen the kissing thing? It's a mouth that you connect to, like, a USB port on your laptop or home computer, and it's a mouth, and then somebody else also can have a mouth plugged into their USB port on their home computer, and if you kiss the mouth, it does what you're doing to the person on the other end, so you can, like, have a virtual kiss.
And now I'm bitter. That I have.
Well, it's only
like I can never not have heard of it again.
Yeah, this sounds like the original purpose of the Xbox, actually.
It's only a matter of time till somebody puts something in it that wasn't intended to be put in it.
I suspect that time has already elapsed.
But yeah, that's a thing. And so there you have it. Look, you know, use your magic rectangle for good or for awesome. It's your choice.
Or for that, which is neither.
All right, Mark, since you're back,
yes,
you wanted to talk about this, so I know nothing of how this originated. All I know is that my internet feeds seem to be, I don't want to say full, but busy with this, like, oh, she chose a bear over a man thing, whatever that is. I've just been seeing the memes. I'm like, oh, it must be something I missed out on, so I don't know much about it, but you wanted to talk about bear versus man.
Well, I trust my the good producers at the LRN chat. How do you get there? Chat.freetalklive.com?
Yes.
Yeah. So I trust them to go ahead and just check on this. But I believe the first instance was a video where a woman is videotaping her husband and asking him essentially a scenario, fake scenario. Would you like your future daughter... She's specific. He doesn't have a daughter, but I think maybe I got the impression she was pregnant. I don't know. Let's just go with that. So your future daughter to be stuck in the woods with a bear or a man. And that's the scenario as she puts it out there. And the guy's like, a bear's going to eat her. Okay. We've established that. Excellent. Well, what about the man, she says?
Well, no daughter of mine's getting eaten by a bear. That's why you arm your kids.
And so he starts, you know, bargaining and saying things like, well, does she... Well, the average person never thinks about a gun, right? They've been so thoroughly cowed and disarmed that they never think about a gun.
The woods, that's where the police aren't.
Right. Well, the police aren't. And there is no accountability. There's less accountability in the woods than there is elsewhere. And so the guy's like, you know, shocked at what could a man do to my future daughter? And I presume he's thinking of her as, you know, post-pubescent at that point. And he's like, oh, I don't like the idea.
That would be the other permanent reaction.
What's
having offspring is the other permanent thing that happens.
Yes.
You got death and the other thing.
Yes. Death and birth. Yes. So, and remember, guys don't like the idea that their daughters are going to have sex with people like them.
Yep.
Right? And that presumably says nothing good about guys, and guys, you know, aspire to be somebody that you would want your family members to have sex with.
You
first.
Might want to rephrase that.
I can hear the
film. I see you're back from Florida. The deep south.
The deep south.
Sorry, not a fiddle, the banjo. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And so basically, this is the conundrum that has been out there. And I went on Facebook sometime this week, and it's just everywhere. And I can't stop a good meme, you know, like, oh, I'm
sure. Yeah.
And
it is everywhere.
On one hand, I will say this. A lot of women have a breathtakingly bad idea about how safe bears are.
Yeah.
Okay, so first thing,
they're so fuzzy.
Right, they are fuzzy. Just because you've seen a bear, and I don't believe half of them have, but that's fine. I have walked in the woods many dozens of times, perhaps the low hundreds of times, and I have never run across a bear. Not a black bear, not a grizzly bear, polar bear.
Wait, what about Porkfest on Rogers Campground?
There was one that was poking around in the garbage, but I didn't see it.
There's more than one. I saw two of them, actually, the first year that I attended in 2019.
And I've seen them, but I think what I got the impression of stuck in the woods, I was like, you know, you're within 20 feet. I don't know, some close margin to the bear. And that, look,
I'm pretty sure the whole thing falls apart if you're not close to either the man or the bear.
Sure, yeah, you got to be close enough. But the bear is far more likely, and I think that at some point, you know, you ask, is the bear hungry? Yes, the bear's hungry, right? There's all kinds of people asking all kinds of questions about the scenario, and fine, the bear's hungry. A bear's far more likely to be dangerous than a man is to be. But the premise is that in the woods, the man is unaccountable, right? So he's going to disappear into the woods. There's nothing that you could do. He's more powerful than you are, and, you know, these kind of things. Oh, by the way, forget the insulting part that men are sexually assaulted every day in America.
Yeah, there's actually more men are raped every day than women.
It's a funny statistic, the one that you've just spit out.
Yeah.
It's a very old one.
I've seen
it repeated somewhat recently.
Okay,
well, but those are prison men. They don't count as humans. They don't have rights.
There aren't prisons in the woods. I'll give them that, right? Sure. There's few escaped convicts in the woods.
Yeah.
But it does include prisoners. That's the primary.
Certainly does.
The primary. So they say it's about 1 in 10 sexual assaults are against males in the U.S.
Outside of prison, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Outside of prison.
Yep.
And so forget those guys. They don't count. And that means that I walk around, let's see, all the sexual assaults. One-fifth as likely to be sexually assaulted as a woman every day, and I don't cower in fear, right? Now, I'm not saying that women shouldn't make these choices. I get it. If you're asking me about a loved one of mine, I'm going to think the same thing.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's really great about this meme is it stops. It makes you stop and think because it was asked to men. And this is the most insulting part of all of this is somehow this got co-opted by internet feminists to be, you don't get to have an opinion. This is a question for women. No, ladies. No, no. From what I can tell, the origination of this meme was a question asked to a man about his daughter. So, yes, in fact, I do get to have an opinion.
Yeah, if it's asked to women, it's really just a question of, so, how sexist are you?
Well,
I am men are worse than predators level sexist or not.
Right. And That's kind of where it goes. And, you know, like it was just interesting to see the whole thing play out on the internet. And I'm like, and of course, you know, there's this friend of my wife's, and, you know, she's going to take that hot take in that direction.
Sure.
Right? And I can't remember what, there was another scenario in the past. Oh, yeah. So the ladies, if men no longer existed, what would be the first thing you would do, right? Like, the hyper-feminist, man-hater, misandry question is, if men disappeared for 24 hours, what would you do? And the vast majority of them said, go for a walk at night, right? Now, forget that you can bring a handgun and go for a walk anytime you want with two X chromosomes. Yep. Forget that part. You know, like, go if you really wanted to go for a walk, you'd have figured out a way to do that already.
Right.
But
or there's just don't live in a city. Like, you can walk here in New Hampshire at night, unaccompanied, and there are no issues.
And, you know, when I lived here, you know, where I was in Westmoreland, up on the trail, my wife would go run regularly out there, and she refused to bring a handgun. And, you know, like, I didn't know what to do, but I didn't like it.
No.
So I get
what were you afraid of, Mark? She'd run into a bear?
Honestly, both.
It's a pretty reasonable possibility.
And that's why I think that the scenario, as posited to the man, is a good scenario to ask. Because you actually, and then at the end of the scenario, this is, I think, the brilliant part of this little bit of cultural meme, mimetic questioning, is what if, what would you prefer her to be trapped in the woods with, a woman or a bear? One, like the guy answers straight away. And I will say, yes, indeed, I feel the same way. But ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that the control group here is one of the most deadly predators on the planet? You got to move mosquitoes out of the way. By the way, they're the most dangerous animal that you can see. If you move them up to, if you go to things that are small, then.
Yeah, they have to team up for that.
Yeah.
I already hate mosquitoes, so that's fun.
Yeah.
But one mosquito. If they don't have, like, malaria or something to help them out with that, then they're not so bad.
Yeah. The most dangerous animal in America, last I looked, if you're, like, sort of at that animal level, then, is a cow. And I think it's just the...
Come again.
It is. Well, besides the primate that we're talking about here. Right. Yeah, cows, people are in contact with these Herefords to get you milk and ice cream. People come in contact with these Herefords regularly. And you come in contact with enough... All you have to do is see one Hereford. A Hereford's hind end is almost as tall as you, Peakless. Ooh. And you're one of the biggest men I've ever met. When I think of a big man, I think of Peakless. Because... He's 6'4".
Yep.
And, you know, bearded and, you know, 300 pounds and not much of it. And probably body fat at 22%. I'm not trying to be cruel.
I haven't checked the percentage, but yeah.
You're right. Just, you know, big. And I'd say a Hereford at the hind end is probably somewhere around 5'9".
Yep.
It's a big animal. That's not where its horns are. That's not where its head is. That's where the hips are on this thing. And if it decides to kick, it can kill you.
Oh, yeah. No, I know a guy who was a farmer, worked on farms and that kind of thing, and he got kicked.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, it messed up his entire left side.
Mm.
Like, he took the hoof, like, to the chest area, but, like, his shoulder, his arm, like, all just nothing, went numb. They didn't know if they were going to have to amputate or whatever. They took, like, a bunch of surgeries to get it all dialed in and corrected. He took out. Big whipping from the hoof of a cow.
And part of the reason is that most people don't take them as seriously because they're mild most of the time.
Oh, right? Look how docile. This isn't a threat. Let me just walk right next to it when that is literally its first instinct. Like, what was that? A fly? Let me kick.
I don't think that it is its first instinct. I think that that they're actually pretty mild compared to horses and pigs. Like, nobody goes into a pig pen with pigs that have not been socialized. This is a bad idea. You know, these things will eat you.
This is where the mafia throws their bodies.
It's true. And whereas, you know, a horse, you know not to walk behind a horse. A cow's not going to kick one out of, you know, it's going to kick one out of 1,000 times. But that one kick is enough to take you out.
Yep.
So,
I mean, I'll grant you that they're not going to kick as often as a horse, but how are those not the same category in your head?
Well, they should be, and they're not, in my own head. Right. Anyway, so I think that this whole meme of basically this meme shows that, you know, who's the sex crime victim, right? That's a sad thing, but it seems like everybody I saw on the internet, as they were talked to about how dangerous bears are, is like...
sexual assault,
right? And it's like, oh, well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but that doesn't mean that men are bad creatures, right?
This reminds me of a couple of things. Number one, are you guys familiar with a, I don't know if it's a website or just a consortium of social media, but it's called Your Childhood Ruined. What they do is they make parodies of, like, childhood books, right? And so one was made long before this whole, you know, bear versus man question,
yeah,
you know, went viral. But it's a picture of, like, you know, a lady running out of the woods with, like, the scared look on her face and her arms up, and there's a bear chasing her, and the name of the book is Viagra Bear.
See, it gets, there you go. It shows.
and then one of the other sub-memes that are a take on this whole man versus bear thing is it's like the gays are upset because the women are taking all the bears away from them.
I do love that. I think a better way to look at this, just to see what you would think in this circumstance, is a better question for women. Because this question was asked to a man,
yeah,
about his daughter. And he's like, which would you rather have? You know, and he never answered the question that I recall in the video as to whether he would prefer his daughter be stuck in the woods with a bear or a man. But ladies, if you were, you know, magically transported between a grizzly bear, you're 50 feet from a grizzly bear and 50 feet from a man on a trail in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Which direction, and then it's thick foliage on either side, which direction do you run? And if you have any answer other than towards the man,
mm-hmm,
you have lost your mind. Now, again, I don't think the purpose of the scenario was to test women's breathtaking misunderstanding of how dangerous bears are. I think it was, in fact, to create a wedge to drive between men and women, because the bear's the control group.
Mm.
In the two scenarios that were put in place, there was always a bear. But it was asked, would you rather have a man or a woman? And I think the obvious answer is that men are more dangerous. If you're going to clump this primate into two groups, one male and one female.
Yeah.
And I get that these groups are pretty common.
Are you suggesting that men are more dangerous than women?
I wouldn't suggest that.
Now you're going to, next you're going to tell me they're taller, too.
Right.
I mean, dangerous is just measuring potential.
Right.
For danger. And in that particular case, I say women are more dangerous than men because they don't have this stereotype associated with them.
Well, so...
Right, where men do, obviously, based on the results of this meme and the internet that's going around, all that kind of thing. Like, it's assumed that men are more predatorial than women.
So here's my thing. A man is definitely more dangerous than a woman. However, women don't operate as single individuals most of the time. That's generally not what they're drawn to. They are social creatures in comparison with men.
Mm-hmm.
And women as a group, for example, well, they are the majority of the voters. So they do have, the full force of the largest, most powerful military force man has ever created,
yeah,
at their disposal. So as a group, women are way more dangerous than men.
Now let's talk about humankind for a minute, right? Just so all of the, you know, genders or, you know, whatever the heck is passing for people these days, compared to bears, right?
There's two genders there, too.
I take gender out of the bears just for a minute. Mankind, humans, are far more dangerous than bears.
Yes.
Sure.
Without a doubt.
In general.
If you're taking mankind.
Yes.
But if you had the choice of running towards a grizzly or towards a man, you would run towards the man. You would also advise your imaginary daughter to do the same thing.
Yes.
Because that's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, could it be an unaccountable man? Yep, it could. But... you know, men are, A, the most dangerous creatures on the planet, and, B, the most protective of humans.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's one of the funny things about this. Like, okay, so when you're dealing with a bear, it's really just a question of how hungry are they? That is how dangerous they are right now. When you're dealing with a man, most of us are, like, not only harmless, but actively protective.
Yes.
So if you are just going to randomly select one of the male gender on the planet, no, the probability is that you're going to get someone who is not only harmless, but a good thing to have around just in case in the midst of the woods you should run into a bear.
I used to, when I was at work and it was dark, I would offer to any of my female employees, hey, do you want me to walk you out? And some would accept, and some wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just ask. And I have been told since on the internet by, internet harridans, that I should never ask this because it reminds women of their helplessness against a man, how they're victims far more often, and, you know, all these things. By the way, men
are victims
of violence more often than women are victims of violence. But whatever the case may be. And so, you know, to me, I don't even know. But then again, I don't work in a situation where I would need to walk women out any longer. Haven't done that in a long time. But I asked.
I've seen that in the corporate world where, you know, somebody gets let go, that kind of a thing. And, like, they just tell, like, as long as there's nothing like a theft involved or something like that,
sure.
It's just like a reduction in force. The other people go, they walk the women out. They don't walk the dudes out. Of the building, right?
Okay.
It's this weird, you know, okay, I guess that's a thing.
Maybe they think women are more vindictive?
I don't know.
I don't know
if there's some HR purpose if there's a legal purpose for that.
Men walked out of buildings. I didn't work where you did, and I didn't have nearly as many coworkers as you have had just because of, you know, the number of jobs and the different types of places you worked. I always worked in radio, and, you know, we'd have... Yeah, it's always small staff.
I've sat in call centers with hundreds of people, so, you know, there's that. But, like, I've never really understood the reason. And I thought I just noticed it. I thought it was odd. I'm like, huh, that's weird. Like, they walk the women out, but not the dudes. I don't know, you know, maybe it's the state laws in Washington State when I saw most of that. I don't know what makes that happen, but I've seen that done. And I was like, huh, that's weird.
And just to clarify, when I'm talking about walking women out, I'd ask if they want to be walked out. It was the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. So it was dark out, and, you know, hey, if you want a guy to walk you to your car, I'm here to do that.
Right. You know, I've frequently been asked for that.
Sure.
I need to...
Nobody's attacking anybody when you're next to them.
Right. You know? I've frequently been asked, hey, I'm taking the trash out to the dumpster. Do you mind walking with me? Of course not.
Right.
And it's like, oh, no, it's disempowering. No, it's human beings looking out for human beings.
Right. It's the, somebody created an anti-rape device, and there's been several created.
The whistle.
The whistle. And that this device, like, you know, that some people on the internet are like, just teach men not to rape. And, like, well, that sounds like a great wish and everything. And I don't know anybody that's ever taught their son be rapey.
Yeah.
But.
How about both?
Yeah. I mean, you know, men carry guns for protection too, you know.
603-283-6160. The handgun is the best rape whistle ever invented, in my opinion.
Fact.
More Free Talk Live is coming up. We're going to talk about all sorts of fun things. Stay tuned.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The California Supreme Court has ruled that a person cannot be detained for trying to avoid cops because that doesn't constitute a crime. The case was brought by a man from Los Angeles who was detained on suspicion of illegal activity when he crouched down behind a car as cops approached. The Police Officers Union calls the ruling out of touch. May the force be with you on May 4th. Saturday, people worldwide will celebrate Star Wars Day. But this unofficial holiday honoring Jedi, droids, and the Force doesn't originate from a galaxy far, far away. Instead, it traces back to 1979 in Britain when Margaret Thatcher became the country's first female prime minister. To mark her victory, her party placed an ad in the London Evening News that read, "May the 4th be with you, Maggie. Congratulations." This catchy pun has since become the unofficial greeting for Star Wars fans on this day. USA News, I'm Jen Gelber.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's episode of Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. If you've never heard of us, you can find out more over at freetalklive.com. We're a live call-in radio show where you can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. We're going to get to your calls in just a minute. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Mark Edge.
Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That is forkfest.party. I am excited. I'll be there for 10 days at Rogers Campground. The Porcupine Freedom Festival, and before it, ForkFest as well. So come and say hi to the captain. It'll be fun.
ForkFest is awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts. This is David Ridley of Ridley Report calling. You're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, gentlemen.
How are you?
Well, oh, Mark's here, too. Sorry. Oh, zing!
I have an NH exit idea, an epiphany sort of. I was listening to a broadcast discussing nuclear policy or something like that, and it just popped into my head. You know, because we tried in 2022 and 2024 to put forward legislation to let the people vote on independence from the United States, in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
It occurred to me there's another way to do it. I remembered what New Zealand did in the 1980s.
What did New Zealand do?
They did not try to secede from their alliance with the United States. Instead, they just imposed a rule on the U.S. government. The rule was, if you're going to bring a nuclear weapon into our harbor, you got to tell us it's there. And in fact, actually, you probably shouldn't bring that ship into the harbor. So if you want to bring a warship into our harbors, that's fine, but you're only allowed to bring in warships that don't have nuclear weapons on them. And that completely, and so the United States then went and seceded from New Zealand.
Sort of. You mean you want us to tell you which ones are nuclear? No!
Huh. So you're saying that can somehow apply to New Hampshire?
So what could be done is a bill, again, a bill that, you know, the taxpayers should be reimbursed by us if we push this bill, but because it costs about $2,000 to hear a bill. If there were a bill that said the United States government cannot bring any nuclear weapons or components of nuclear weapons into New Hampshire, that might have a similar effect, and it would also trigger a lot of new publicity because it's a new and different approach to the issue.
I wonder if we'd include something for them to take out any nuclear components that exist here, because who knows what they have at Space Force.
Now, you got to be careful with nuclear, right? So I think nuclear power is the safest and most ecological power that is out there. However, the reason that they have nuclear power is so they can create these bombs. You know, they're inexorably linked. There exists meltdown-proof reactors, what they call thorium salt reactors, and I think, Peakless, you actually educated me on the topic, but, you know, there are thorium salt reactors, but they don't make nuclear – one of the side effects isn't making nuclear weapons.
Right.
And so they're not very interesting to the kind of people who make –
want to put everyone in existence at risk.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think that just forcing them to admit that the thing existed would probably be enough to dissuade the United States federal government from wanting to have anything to do with New Hampshire.
Wait. I want to back up for a second to something that Mr. Ridley said. He said that it costs about $2,000 to get a bill heard in New Hampshire. Is that right?
Yeah, the process of bringing the committees together, you know, the number of times that they have to be brought together in order to kill a bill is thought to be, I mean, as of 5 or 10 years ago, it was thought to be $2,000. It may be more now. I'm maybe the only person that does this, but I make a point of not requesting or bills or pushing for them, unless the taxpayers are going to be reimbursed. And that's what happened with the NH exit bill in 2022. The reason I never asked a state rep to submit a bill was because I figured, well, I don't have the $2,000 lying around just waiting to be spent on something like that. If I can't reimburse them, I'm not going to request it. But what happened was I was talking about NH exit on Free Talk Live, and some of the hosts offered to reimburse any bill that I could get sponsored, for a secession. So I did start asking around and requesting, you know, state reps to sponsor this thing.
That's awesome.
I'm just repeating that process for a different, slightly different, well, I guess substantially different bill that might ultimately have the same effect.
Yeah. Guys, thoughts, opinions? Like, would something like that have the effect that Ridley thinks it might?
I mean, it would be wonderful to have, but I think that for the reason that it's awesome, it would never pass.
I don't think it'll work, and here's why. So what the United States doesn't want to do is telegraph, is all Russia has to do is get satellite pictures of a given boat inside of a harbor in New Zealand to realize that that boat presumably does not have nuclear weapons on it.
Mm-hmm.
And any boat that does never goes to New Zealand harbor, then does have nuclear weapons on it.
Right.
And this isn't the kind of thing that you would want to say. Whereas when it comes to nuclear weapons that are on the land controlled inside the United States in, say, North Dakota or something like that, they're much less mobile. And so I would say that it is largely unimportant. However, Saipan, the U.S. Marianas, did something similar and said, yes, we want, you know, we're fine with your military bases, but you will not have a bombing range on one of our islands. Now, consider that Saipan has like 14, the U.S. Marianas has 14 islands, only four of which have, to our knowledge, ever really been inhabited, at least in, you know, modern history, and only three of which are really inhabited now. So if you did want to drop some bombs on some islands, you could do it on any one of these islands that are out there, and, you know, nobody would really, you know, be affected terribly. Now, I guess the fallout could come that way or whatever, but people are on Johnson Atoll right now, and they have literally blowing up nuclear weapons right there. So they're not as dangerous as you might think that they are. Anyway, I think that it may start an interesting trend to say no nuclear weapons here in our state, in so much as other states may say the same thing, and that's kind of interesting, but I don't think it'll have the same sort of positive effect it had with New Zealand.
I do think it would be funny to force them to hold all of their nuclear weapons under the guise of actually producing power so that they did something useful for a change.
Right.
Well, it's just, you know, we've got this elephant in the room. We're all under the largest nuclear threat that the country has ever been under. The world is under the biggest nuclear threat now that it probably has ever been under. And we just seem to be moving closer and closer toward the moment.
Yeah, it so sucks, doesn't it?
This sort of solves two problems with one stone. You know, the problem that New Hampshire is ruled by D.C. and the problem that D.C. is pushing the world closer toward the end of civilization. So I just think it's new and different. It would get attention. It would be different. It wouldn't precisely be. It wouldn't really even be a secession bill. Something like that could be powerful, and it wouldn't have to be done in New Hampshire. It could be done anywhere in the world that it has an alliance with the United States.
I think it's creative, and I applaud creativity, particularly when, you know, trying to do battle with something known as the state.
Well, so here's my question. How would you enforce the dang thing?
Right.
Because it seems to be...
How does New Zealand enforce it?
Right. Well, I mean...
They probably don't.
Right. There is that. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that the federal government does what it wants to do. Full stop.
Yeah, the New Zealanders never had to enforce it because the federals just... They just turned tail and walked away from New Zealand. And New Zealand has benefited from that independence ever since.
It would be interesting to see the reaction, though. Like, let's say this thing did, you know, pass, and even though enforcement seems to be a question, it'd be interesting to see what the federal government's reaction to something like this would be if it were to pass.
Yeah, and I guess that's another zero expense, you know, thing that would need to happen. I think there would almost need to be no enforcement. It would almost need to be written so that there's no enforcement, because if there's enforcement, then there is an expense to taxpayers, and that's an act of aggression.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, I think the reason that they backed off of New Zealand is just because if they ever managed to get caught, and, you know, no amount of secrecy is perfect, so if they ever managed to get caught, it would be so much egg on their face in the international community to have lied to a close ally about nuclear weapons that they just did not want to even risk that. Whereas with New Hampshire, I mean...
Yeah.
They are basically expected to do to us whatever they please because we're under them.
You're in the death pack that they call the U.S. Constitution, right? Yeah. And, you know, the common belief is that there is no getting out of the Constitution because, well, we fought a war over that already, right? Like, and so the New Hampshire should have more deference than New Zealand does, but in fact it has less.
Yeah. Well, and you just want to own slaves in exactly the same way as thinking that we shouldn't lock the entire world in their houses was just because you want a haircut.
Right.
Mr. Ridley?
That is all.
Hey, how can people find you and your work?
ReadilyReport.com.
That was great. Thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
You know, since he brings up the haunting possibility of nuclear war, shout out to Iran for not going for the bait. Because that was really close, guys. Like, I don't know how much you guys followed the whole Iran-Israel thing, but it was tit for tat for a second, and that was going to go really, really bad. And then Iran just didn't do anything. So far, so good. And that might be why we're still here.
Well, I think that Iran is probably planning to do so. One of the reasons that, the reason that Israel did what it did was it was the tit to that tat, mm-hmm. right? And there you go. What's his name, the comedian?
Carlin.
Yeah, George Carlin. He was wrong. You can say it on the radio.
In that context only.
It was the tit for that tat.
Both of you have said it twice now, so let's keep it to a minimum.
Okay. And... whereas I've lost my train of thought. I was so amused by it. Iran attacked Israel. Then Israel responded to the attack.
Well, you're skipping a point, a very, very important point. So Israel bombed an embassy or consulate, whatever, which
in Lebanon, right?
In Syria.
Syria, okay.
Yeah, they bombed an Iranian embassy in Syria, which, at least legally speaking, that is just as much Iranian land as if it were in the very heart of the country.
Okay.
So Iran responded to that with a strike that was very, very clearly a shot across the bow, not intended to actually be effective, which is why they, warned everyone that they were going to do it and when, which is why 99.9% of those didn't actually hit any of their targets. But it was a very effective way of saying, hey, we could.
I understand that.
Right, and then Israel strikes back.
Yep.
And then I'm like, oh, God, please don't.
I agree with you on the assessment, but I think that Iran may...
That was the Iran theme song.
...do something.
Oh. For a second, I thought it was going to be Round and Round.
So a flock of seagulls, Iran, is the name of the song.
Mm-hmm.
80s song. Yeah, okay, anyway, go ahead.
I think that's fair use as long as we didn't use 9 seconds, right? Right. So I think that Iran probably could potentially do something in the future. I'm not counting that out. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not counting it out either. I'm honestly keeping my fingers crossed and knocking on wood. Because so far, so good. And this is a horrifying possibility. Because, look, I literally can't imagine a possibility where Israel gets involved in a war and doesn't drag the U.S. into it. I also can't imagine a possibility where Iran gets in a war and doesn't drag Russia into it. So what are we talking about here? Another proxy war between Russia and America?
Sure.
And this one, like, I mean, sure, America is invested in Ukraine, but not in the way that America is invested in Israel. So that's right. A lot scarier. As if we didn't have enough possible sources of nuclear annihilation already with that Ukraine and Taiwan.
Invested is an interesting term for what America is in these countries. Let's see. Can we come up with better terminology? Sugar daddies. U.S. is sugar daddies to Israel.
Well,
and some of these other countries with all of the money
the Israel
being sent. Ukraine. U.S. is their sugar daddy.
That's absolutely true.
Or at least a sugar daddy.
There's a fair argument for who is the dominant member of that relationship going either direction. I haven't figured out which.
Well, I agree completely on Ukraine. However, I think that the Israel thing's kind of interesting. Israel doesn't need the United States.
Right.
The United States lends credibility to Israel. And if you took the amount of money the United States gives to Israel, usually it's in weapons,
mm-hmm.
And then you count the amount of taxes paid by Jews in the United States, well, you know, those numbers are very similar. So you could say that, you know, that's the Jews in the United States are paying for weaponizing Israel. If that's what you want to do, to sort of look at it. But to me, I think that if the United States stopped sending weapons to Israel, it would just make whatever Israel did more their own responsibility.
Well, and money, too, right? Yeah. Money and
weapons. They don't need the money, though.
I know, but they send it.
Yeah, well, I think Israel sends money back, too, would be my guess.
Well, and
APAC certainly spends plenty of money on advertising in the U.S.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and so there's the fact that they're funding them, the fact that they're arming them, and there's the fact that, for example, with the Iran strike, you saw very clearly, like, there's no effective distinction between the two militaries. The U.S. is absolutely happy to act as the military of Israel in at least some situations. So, like, there's just the straight-up American military power at the disposal of the nation. Of Israel. And all of these are, of course, going to make Israel much less accountable for its actions.
Indeed.
Well, and has the U.S. ever been accountable for its actions?
That's exactly the problem. It's spreading.
Yeah, and, well, what are governments but people ungoverned?
Right.
Right.
The most notably ungoverned of people.
Right. And so who watches those guys? Who enforces things between those guys? It must be anarchy.
Hmm.
Weird, huh?
No, they have a very sophisticated network of bribery and blackmail where they all sort of have checks and balances and they all do the same thing lest anyone leak the thing that will destroy the career of the other.
Riddle me this. Oh, you know, almost a Batman, what do you call it, supervillain? Yeah, thank you. From the 1960s Batman series, right? Mm. Not the movies that have been made since then. But riddle me this. In international contracts, right? I'm a U.S. business, and I want to trade with somebody in, you know, I don't know, name a country, Spain, right? And we both sign a contract. Mm-hmm. To, you know, they're going to buy some goods from me, I'm going to buy some goods from them, and, you know, we're going to make it even, you know, we'll figure out the shipping and all that stuff, prices have been figured out, all right, we have this contract, it's done, we both agree to the terms of the contract. Who enforces that?
The International Criminal Court, The Hague.
Okay. Or as I like to call, no one except for themselves, because generally speaking, in these international contracts between businesses,
you specify what happens if there's...
You specify arbitration.
Right.
Right? And so,
that's true.
So there are systems already at work that do not involve necessarily the international... What did you say?
International Criminal Court.
International Criminal Court. It does not necessarily involve the federal government in the U.S. It does not involve Spain's government in this particular scenario. There are already mechanisms in place for contracts to be self-enforcing,
mm-hmm.
right, without government intervention, i.e., what I'm trying to say, government's not necessary.
Well
government, I'm not refuting what you're saying. Government is the only reason that they have these international organizations that function as super governments to solve the problem, because the corporations can always use arbitration to figure it out,
right.
Who's at fault and who's not.
Well, so can individuals, for that matter.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, you know, that's all corporations are. It's just a group of individuals doing things together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to quibble over your use of the contract is self-enforcing. And only smart contracts are self-enforcing.
Well, okay. All right. By what I mean by that is it's not necessary for any government to have a group of people who enforce these things, because
that
you can write in what happens if there's a dispute, what happens if somebody stops paying or stops trading, you know, what happens if this agreement you've entered into goes south.
Yeah.
Right. You can both figure that out before you even sign the damn thing. And then, you know, you just put those mechanisms into play when and if it does go in a way you didn't expect.
Yeah, I think a perfect proof of the ability to solve disputes and have a functioning market without the use of government is I don't know how many people have gotten pot that was not dusted with PCP, but it's pretty much the standard experience.
Yep.
And gee, why is that? Oh, because there are self-reinforcing norms in a market,
mm-hmm.
where if you were doing terrible things to this, if you were defrauding your customers, you end up not having customers real quick.
Weird how the market works that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is in a circumstance where you fundamentally cannot appeal to any government to enforce any of the agreements that you've made with anyone. And yet, functions quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, that's how the whole system of political bribery works.
It certainly is.
Yeah, again, it's a reputation system. If someone gives you a nod and a wink and you don't give them preferential treatment after they've funded your campaign, that word gets around instantaneously. And that's why no one knocked on Ron Paul's door very, very soon after he became a representative.
Yeah, they probably never did because they were probably more clear with him than anybody else. Hey, I'm going to give you this money and you're going to do this thing. And he said, nope, no, I'm not.
The way I heard it was that very early on, there were a couple of people that stopped by and talked to him about a few things, and he kept asking them, well, where in the Constitution is that? And that just bewildered them, and very quickly they just stopped by and talking about things.
Yeah, we could use more market and less government, particularly... with things like arbitration. Sure, there are many arbitration companies that do corporate work, right? But we could use something resembling voluntary arbitration, voluntary courts, if you will. But, of course, government won't get out of the way.
So this is one of the things that the private city Prospera is doing in Central America. Honduras and, frankly, pretty much all of Central American courts are legendary for how corrupt they are. Okay. And, you know, getting justice out of a Honduran court, very difficult. Of course, takes a long time. Got to pay people off and do all these things, right? And whereas Prospera has set up its own arbitration, which, you know, you can use anywhere in the world. The hope is, of course, that you could use it in Central America to get a better court. But they've brought in, they've got their own form of law called ULEX. It is English common law, but stripped down to the bare basics. And then they've got retired U.S. Judges who, you know, will hear the case, and they can do it very quickly. They do it very inexpensively. And you know, the hope is that when, you know, more and more companies will continue to use it, bigger companies, bigger solutions, and if they stay there over time, that, you know, they will be the go-to as far as justice in Central America. Yeah. And this will put pressure on these Central American courts that, well, you're going to have to deliver real justice.
Yeah. Competition, of course.
Competition.
Is where that breeds. And so with the U.S. Claiming and holding a monopoly on judicial services, is a disservice to humankind.
Yeah, and I gotta say, they've done the absolute worst possible job by combining the worst features of both the Roman and British systems.
603-283-6160. Hour number two of Free Talk Live is coming up next. Still to come, we're going to talk about the FCC. Free Talk Live.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Vietnam immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.